So while I was preparing for this homily, I saw that the first reading was really short. And so I read through it. And I was just thinking, okay, what am I missing here? So I had to read through it a bunch of times before something finally started popping out at me. Because it's there for a reason, right? So I'm reading through it, and at one point I realized, maybe Amos didn't really want to be a prophet. He certainly didn't ask for it. It sounds like he was perfectly happy being a shepherd and a sycamore dresser, whatever that is. Apparently Amos was good at those things. But he gave it all up because he got a call from God. God called Amos. He said, "Travel north and prophesy to my people of Israel." And if I were a guessing man, and I am, I would hazard a guess that Amos was not a huge fan of this career change. But he trusted God, so he went along with it. And as it turns out, the people of the north were not too happy with what Amos had to say, judging by their reaction, "Leave or else." But Amos did not let this deter him. He continued on the mission that God had given him. The apostles themselves had several of their very own Amos moments, as I like to call them. They had all been called to follow Jesus, and that was probably Amos moment number one. So they get called, they start following this Jesus fellow around. They follow him, they learn from him, they watch him perform all these miracles. And, you know, they're probably sitting there thinking, man, we've got a pretty sweet gig following this Jesus dude around. He's pretty cool. But then Jesus says, now it's your turn. Amos moment. He gives them the authority to cast out unclean spirits. And he tells them that you're going to go preach repentance to Israel. Oh boy. Not only were they to go on this kind of crazy missionary journey, but they couldn't bring any money or supplies with them. I mean, it's almost comical. It's almost comical how little they had. No food, no sack, no money, no change of clothes. Jesus was looking out for them, though. They could bring a walking stick and they could wear shoes. And he didn't sugarcoat the mission to them either. He told them that there would be towns that were unreceptive. He really was challenging them to come out of their comfort zones. And he was demanding, rely fully on God. So the apostles, they went out, they did the mission. And spoiler alert, if you read ahead in Mark a little bit, when they came back, they were excited. They were filled with joy. They couldn't wait to tell Jesus about how awesome their missionary journeys were. I think each one of us here probably has our very own Amos moment. You know, we go about our lives, doing our business, dressing sycamores, whatever. And then God calls us to do something different. My big Amos moment was when I realized I was being called to go to seminary and do that whole priest thing. You know, I was happy. I was working at Learjet. I was on track to move up in the company. I was in better physical shape than I am now. And, you know, things were going well. But then one day I was at daily mass before going to work, and I got a little message from God. And he told me, you need to be on the other side of the altar. And I wasn't a fan, but eventually I listened to God. And now I can confidently say, I am happier than I have ever been, even though this wasn't really what I had planned. And every time I run into a roadblock or a struggle with this vocation, I pretty much plan to follow Amos's lead. I'm going to continue, not be deterred, and just do what God tells me. Each one of us, in fact, has a very special and very unique plan that God has for us. But that doesn't mean that the goal of these plans is really any different. Because God wants each one of us here to be holy. He wants us to be holy. Because when we're holy, not only does that mean when we die we'll go to heaven, but it also means that when we're holy, we change the world. How we live out that holiness varies. It's different from person to person. I'm called to be holy by getting ordained and doing that whole priest thing. Most people are called to be holy by getting married and raising a family. And some are called to be holy by withdrawing from the world and entering into religious life. But that's not all there is. There's even more variation in God's plan. Our individual jobs and our volunteer activities are ways that we can be holy. And every one of us affects the world in a different way, as long as we do our best to make it a more holy place. What's even better about this mission, though, is that God never sends us alone. He didn't send the apostles alone. He sent them two by two. So he wouldn't send us alone either. We have our parishes, we have our families, we have our friends to accompany us on this. Now, I'll be the first to admit that sometimes our families and friends are not particularly helpful. I mean, the apostles had Judas to deal with. But that's not the point. The point is, we're never alone. And even when every worldly institution fails us, we always have one person with us, God. And he's always going to give us the tools we need to do that work. The apostles had been getting their tools following Jesus. They'd been watching him preach, learning from him. They had seen him heal many, many people. They had observed him cast out all sorts of demons. And then Jesus gave them the authority to do that. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. And he told them, go, preach repentance, cast out demons, heal the sick. We've been given gifts for our own mission. He teaches us through the readings, through the gospel, through Holy Mass, every time we attend. Hopefully, us preachers help a little bit with that. And while none of us here has probably been given the authority to cast out demons, we have received even greater gifts than that. Because God has given us something amazing, something that not even the apostles or Amos had on their first mission. He's given us the sacraments. The sacraments are more powerful than any exorcism or anything else. Baptism and confirmation mark us as children of God, and they say we are under God's protection. The sacraments of marriage and holy orders give us special graces, which we're going to need to follow those two vocations. The anointing of the sick uses oil, just like the apostles in the gospel do today, and it heals our souls, and sometimes even heals our bodies. And there are two more sacraments, two very special sacraments that are extremely valuable in this mission to bring holiness to the world. The first is the sacrament of confession, or reconciliation, or penance, or getting in the box, or whatever you want to call it. And it's vital for our personal holiness. In the sacrament of confession, God takes away our sins. He forgives them. And I think that it is the most intimate and personal encounter we will ever have on this side of heaven with God's mercy. In confession, God tells us that what we've done in the past is in the past. No matter how big or how small our sins, he will forgive us. Now maybe we'll have a couple extra Hail Marys or Our Fathers, but he'll forgive us. And what really matters is how we go forward. We must go forward and do our best to love God. Every time we go to confession, we get the grace we need to pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and try again. And when God says through the priest, I absolve you of your sins, we can be confident not only that we're receiving God's mercy, but that our sins are truly forgiven. And then, finally, the one last sacrament, the Eucharist. There aren't words to describe how incredible this sacrament is. The Eucharist feeds our souls. God enters into us, and he transforms us. It's an incredibly powerful sacrament, and we cannot overstate how much it changes us. St. John Vianney once said that if we really understood the Mass, we would die of joy. And St. Padre Pio said, it would be easier for the world to survive without the Son than to do without Holy Mass. And as confession, I think, is the most intimate personal encounter we'll ever have with God's mercy on this side of heaven, I believe that the Eucharist is that for God's love. God loves us so much that he is willing to be our food, and he's willing to nourish us both in body and in soul. That's amazing. So when we run into these Amos moments in our lives, let us not be afraid to just go ahead and do God's will. And it probably will be challenging, but God never lets us struggle alone. He's with us every step of the way. We have help from him, from the church, from our family, from our friends, all those around us. And on top of all that, we have the sacraments, those beautiful moments of God's grace, which, as I mentioned, the apostles didn't have that on their first journey. And so let's all strive each day to become more holy. And by doing that, let us strive to transform the world. Because the reward, heaven, is worth it.